Well, good morning, everyone. It's beautiful to be with you here in this moment. So wherever you are around the world, happy now, whether it's good morning or good evening, it's the same moment. We are sharing in presence, being here. So let's take a few moments to really acknowledge this and center into this moment. So close your eyes and we'll start with three deep, full breaths in through the nose and out through the mouth. Allowing the breath just to carry you deeply into your innermost being. So as you breathe in open. And as you breathe out, allowing yourself to relax fully into this moment, letting in to this which is here. Breathing in, being open, receptive and aware. And as you breathe out, being centered, really feeling yourself at the innermost core of your being. Breathing in, calm, clear, awake awareness. And as you breathe out, surrendered, relaxed, present, here now. Taking a deep breath into your innermost heart center now. Feeling the love, the calm, the presence that is here within you. And gently affirm to yourself, I am here. This presence, being here, is all that is true. Purely this, in this moment, it is free-flowing, all centered, all present, all open, all connected. Here as this awareness is united with all. As you feel yourself centered and connected, take a deep breath in, feeling the love flowing within you. This love is the essence of your being, the essence of all. Here, this love is peace, silence, stillness, all openness and all connection. As you feel this, take a breath into your heart again and take a few moments to give thanks. Gratitude for this moment, gratitude for what simply is here now. And as you breathe, feeling the love flowing through your whole being, from cell to cell, radiating through your aura, vibrating in harmony with all life. You are open with all that is in truth with you, within you and all around you. Truth is here. And here now you are open to receive in awareness all that reveals truth and love and peace for you. So deep breath into your body now, feeling yourself centered, present and aware. Take a nice gentle stretch as you breathe deeply and slowly open your eyes now. So it's wonderful to be with you, and thank you, team, for being here to hold the space for everyone to join, like I said, from all around the world and all around Australia, wherever you are. It's beautiful to be with you. So we'll start with some questions now.
Lovely. Okay, so the first question this morning, I feel like my subtle bodies are not in alignment with my physical body. Why does this happen and how to fix it, please?
Well, look, the subtle body does reflect oftentimes what is in the unconscious mind or the subconscious mind as well, and what is untapped in terms of greater consciousness. So the physical body is going to display symptoms in relation to that. So if there's a feeling of non-alignment, it actually really is reflecting a sense of discord between unconscious energies and conscious energies. So the way to strengthen or deepen that alignment, of course, is to cultivate more conscious presence. And the more you can be centered in your innermost being and practice meditation, but also mobilize the energies of your body and your emotions as well. So cathartic practice as well, for example, that does help disperse whatever discordant energies may be held at the unconscious level. And it also helps to wake up the untapped greater conscious energies. So meditation, cathartic practice, breathing practices, and essentially all about being very deeply centered in yourself and aware and present in each moment. So don't worry, it's actually natural that you can feel a sense of misalignment between the subtle body and the physical body. Like I said, this just really does indicate and reflect some of those differences between unconscious and conscious energies. And that's part of the journey for everyone. You know, things are not always going to feel perfectly aligned, so not to worry about that. Just continue as you are with the right intentions, and most of all, making your core intention a focus of love. So bringing your awareness into the vibration of love as often as possible.
Thank you. Next question this morning. I experienced an accident with my front teeth, nothing broken but traumatized, and followed by amazing dreams. Any clues?
Well, I mean, it's really interesting when something does happen to the teeth anyway. The teeth are really profoundly connected to our whole energy systems, and I've noted myself that when there are major life changes, in particular very new stages in our life, that things can happen to our teeth. I experienced before conceiving, my front bottom teeth started to ache and became actually quite loose. It was really strange. On both occasions, in the week before I actually conceived. And I was having dreams that my teeth were falling out and I had new baby teeth. So it really is, you know, very tied into this renewal of our identity and how we are presenting ourselves in the world and what our responsibilities are. So I think if you're also having a lot of dreams about your teeth, aside from the fact that if, you know, your teeth were really traumatized, your subconscious is going to be processing that a lot as well. It is quite a strong impact, and like I say, it's very, very tied into our sense of identity and place in the world and how we are presenting ourselves, how we're living, how we're acting in the world. So the subconscious is certainly going to be trying to put it all together for you. And I wouldn't be surprised if you're facing a new stage in your life.
Thank you. Next question this morning. I'm a writer and my work involves using the internet 6 or more hours a day. How do I ground myself? I feel scattered constantly. Help.
Yeah, all right. Look, we are all subject to, unfortunately, yes, great benefits with the internet and what we can do with this fabulous tool of connection. I mean, look at us right now. This morning we're connecting all around the world, which is just wonderful. But at the same time, you know, these frequencies, they really do disturb and interrupt our nervous system. Now, really importantly, one of the fastest ways to restore the balance for the nervous system and also the balance between positive and negative ions, because all these EMFs, you know, the radiation field and all these frequencies that we're being bombarded with, they're really disturbing the balance between positive and negative ions. So we actually need a much higher quota in terms of ratios of negative ions compared to positive ions. So, for example, 10 negative ions to 1 positive ion is the absolute minimum ratio balance we should have, and preferably in the hundreds to thousands negative ions to 1 positive ion. Our unnatural environments, you know, like offices and surrounded by all these different frequencies, is actually creating a complete reversal of that. So to restore that, first, foremost, bare feet. Like, take a break every hour, get outside onto the earth. And I don't mean just even concrete. Yes, that will help, but if you can get out actually onto soil, onto grass or natural rocks once an hour, it's going to help discharge the buildup of all the positive ions and restore your connection to the right magnetic field with the earth. It also helps to calm and ease the disturbance that is happening in the nervous system as a result of those imbalances. Also, spritzing, you know, with the right essential oils. There are devices that actually really do work. I've been trialing a device at the moment called Blue Shield, which is seems to be really assisting to calm down the excessive, you know, amount of these frequencies in the household. And also, lastly, as often as possible, is to get into a really natural environment. So go for a walk by the ocean if you can every day. If you live anywhere near the ocean, go once a day, early morning. Get all of those amazing negative ions into your system, or go at the end of the day, restore yourself. If you live near, you know, bushland or the forest, go into the forest. These are all things that will just really work to help restore that balance for you. Thank you for that question. It's really relevant, actually, for everyone, because we are all impacted by these radio frequencies and our Wi-Fi, etc.
Yeah, definitely. Next question. Asara, could you please speak on abortion?
Thank you for raising this question. It's a question of great sensitivity, and of course it's a very controversial question, because it rests on the core of life itself, what we see as life and what we value as life. And I guess one of the biggest issues with this is that we associate life so strongly with the physical realm. And when we have a very fixed identity with life being really very much fixed as a physical experience, then we find it very difficult to, I guess, take into account the much, much bigger picture that actually each and every one of us has come from no form into form, and we all return to no form. So, first of all, I'm going to give an example about miscarriage, because there's a bit of a transition in being able to open our awareness and perceptions to a much bigger context here. So, you know, oftentimes miscarriage is very, very traumatizing. But again, when our mind is fixed solely at the physical level, we struggle to recognize that actually each soul that is conceived coming into incarnation is something far greater than the physical form. It is part of a flow of the eternal and infinite life force, life field that goes on and on and on and on and on, and it comes and goes and comes and goes. That is what we all actually are. This body is so transient and impermanent. This body is going to end. We are not going to end. So souls that are miscarried, oftentimes it's simply a skip in that flow, that for whatever reason that particular flow of soul consciousness has chosen to be part of an experience which touches on the physical realm and maybe catalyzes some kind of emotional experience or growth for the parents involved, the families involved, but the purpose was never to fully come into form. Now, the same can be said for abortion. There are occasions where the circumstances simply are not really serving in the most loving and wholesome fashion to continue with that form of life. So, you know, there are many, many variants as to how and why a mother and father, for that matter, may need to choose to abort the flow of that soul before that soul actually takes full form and comes into this world. And we know that there are many considerations in that regard. And I can see that there are also occasions where the choice to abort can be either one that is considering consciously or one that is actually fear-based. And really it comes down to our understanding of responsibility, that everything we choose to enact upon, that we choose to create, it has consequences. So, for example, if a woman, a young woman, has been raped and as a result is, going to be conceiving, then there are a multitude of implications that lean this experience towards one that is full of trauma. If a woman is extremely ill, there are a multitude of implications which again lead this experience towards one of trauma. Then there are situations where an individual may yet be able to consciously embrace actually the extent of that responsibility, and then that's a learning passage. So abortion in that instant, you know, many people could see it as a negative choice or the wrong choice, when actually it's a learning choice. So in every single instance, it's not about making this actually right or wrong. It's simply about understanding it's a different set of circumstances with a different set of purposes and consequences and interactive dynamics. So we really cannot determine whether yes, you should or no, you shouldn't. It is so different in every single instant. And like I say, if we can really remember and keep in context that yes, we treasure, we value the physical form, and that's very important. But ultimately, if we understand that our physical form is but a mere fleeting manifestation of this far greater energy that we are universally, infinitely and eternally, then we have less challenge in accepting and embracing sometimes events that are very transient and don't necessarily come to full fruition. So thank you for that question. It's a very valuable question, and it really touches on the humanity for all of us, and hopefully to cultivate greater compassion and tolerance and understanding for such a challenging circumstance. Anyone in that position is challenged, and that needs love and conscious understanding. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. The next question, what is the symbolism of the animal heads on the people depicted in paintings from ancient Egypt?
Well, there's a multitude of those, isn't it? I guess, you know, as we've evolved as civilizations, we've expressed our comprehension of life in its manifest form and the unseen realms in many different ways. And I think Egypt was certainly very active in terms of its awareness and relationship between the seen and the unseen realms, and also the interconnectedness of all life. So there's a lot of metaphorical representation throughout Egypt. So it doesn't necessarily mean that the concept of, you know, worshipping any particular animal meant the belief that those animals actually literally were gods, but rather it represents certain aspects, archetypes of consciousness. And that's quite an extensive topic, you know. We could go into that a lot more thoroughly, but I think it's probably for the sake of this morning, especially when we've got so many questions, I'll keep it universal and general, that that's the main point about this is metaphors, archetypes, what those animals represent actually as archetypes of consciousness and how we relate to each other, strengths and qualities of our wisdom, our growth, our strengths, etc., and how we see and understand that relationship in transition from form to formlessness to form to formlessness, but also the interconnectedness of all life. Hopefully that's sufficient for you for now.
That's it in a nutshell, as they say.
Yeah.
So next question, and thank you for answering that one. Recently, I've been experiencing a great deal of self-loathing about being so judgmental and opinionated. What's the best way to handle this?
Sorry, Sasha, can you repeat the last bit? I got self-loathing. Was that self-loathing about being so judgmental?
Mm-hmm. About being so judgmental and opinionated. What is the best way to handle this?
Yeah, so, well, I understand that conceptually or logically you would realise that self-loathing for the condition of being judgmental actually is not helping you to progress beyond that, because self-loathing is another form of judgment which perpetuates the cycle, the loop of judgment. If you have judgment within yourself, you have judgment externally. It all begins with what's going on in here. So the more you practice acceptance and the more actually you bring your attention into neutral presence, the easier it is to accept more compassionately that there just are qualities of the mind or one's perception that are still rooted in ignorance, actually, a degree of not seeing and not understanding things truly simply as they are. That's where judgment comes from. And in actual fact, you know, oftentimes a lot of people say, well, love and love and love. Yes, love, absolutely, I agree. It's important you cultivate more attention and presence in love. But actually, the most important thing for you to cultivate is to make this connection with the neutral essence of self. You see, self, awareness, consciousness is totally neutral. There is no bias in consciousness, in essence of life. It does produce, it does contain positive and negative, and it has no issue with that. So you see, consciousness itself is unbiased. Consciousness itself is all-seeing, all-embracing, all-accepting. So the more you can come into this, which, by the way, you can access more readily if you practice witnessing, the practice of witnessing awareness. And look, I go into this particular factor very, very thoroughly and deeply in my latest book, Awakening You. So I really recommend you do read the book And really read it from beginning to end, because it will take you on a journey of how to come back to this essential essence of self that is, it really is free of the judgments. And as I'm pointing out, because of its neutral essence, that neutral quality, then there is the capacity to accept all facets of life, positive and negative. And ultimately, that's what we have to cultivate, to come into compassion, acceptance. You know, we talk about forgiveness. And really, forgiveness is about coming into the neutral space where we see and we understand the conditions rather than judge them. So it is a deepening of seeing things as they are and for what they are. And then there's just love for that. So actually, love springs from a space that is deeply neutral, unbiased. Whereas most people are trying to counterbalance, you know, this judgment and negative dark thoughts and forces with love. And actually, they still haven't come back to essence, which is neutral first and unbiased. That's why it feels like you're just on this seesaw and swinging from one to the other extreme. See if that helps you. And like I say, if you haven't yet got the book, do get it and really read it. It's going to help you enormously. It is such a companion and a guide to really get the experience. Awakening you.
Thank you. Next question, Asara. Thanks for being here. If everything happens as part of a predetermined plan, does karma exist? And if so, what function does it serve? A heaven-hell type deterrent role seems unnecessary if we are living out of a predestined role.
Yeah, look, great question, and really interesting and fascinating. I've actually given whole satsangs on this, by the way. And, you know, the more often we're developing our technology to a point where we will be able to do live streaming and hopefully interactive questions for satsang as well, we can go into this more thoroughly. But so for now, I'll try to keep it concise because it is really fascinating. First of all, what we are and how our life is orchestrated and orchestrating is not literal and linear in the way we perceive it to be. And this is why the mind struggles to reconcile the relationship between what we refer to as karmic laws compared to everything being predestined, compared to free will. Because actually, if you ask the question about karma in relation to pre-written existence, which actually everything already is, because it already is, it's all infinite whole formula, so of course at some level it is all pre-written. But the fact is that at different vibrational levels, those laws and forces are playing out and orchestrating in different ways. And so in actual fact, all of those things do coexist. But if we look at one and we isolate it and we define it, we have a real problem, because it seems that it contradicts the other. Free will seems to contradict, actually, predestiny. Karma even seems to contradict, when we really look at it, free will and destiny as well. But if we consider, like I say, the orchestration, that actually all of these represent different dimensions and different functions of our experience, then we can start to reconcile this sense of contradiction, that actually somehow it does all work together. So, for example, free will is part of the function of the human appearing as a part within the whole. Karma is actually reflective of the balance of those forces that in each and every moment, in relation to our function of free will, even though there is a whole actualization already, as a function we are playing out a momentum that unfolds what is pre-written. So our free will is actually part of that unfolding. And by the way, pre-written in terms of this experience is not 100% fixed, because we are infinite beings. We're multiverse upon multiverse. There's multiple versions of me, you, this, life, existence, happening right here, right now, but you can't see it because your consciousness is coupled with the vibrational frequency of this particular form, this particular dimension and manifestation. So there's a whole lot of other experiences going on at the same time. That's why destiny is not fixed. And that's why free will is a function within this. You actually do have largely a predetermined pathway your soul wants to take, but you could take varying divergences along that pathway as well. That's part of the free will. Karma then relates to the balancing of the forces of what one focuses on, what one chooses, what one speaks, what one acts. It has a vibration and a counterpart to it. So it's about consequences, that whatever we focus on, it does have consequences, irrespective of whether we're determining that as something predestined or something of free will. There are consequences. That's the simplest way to refer to or explain karma. Like I said, great question, and something to explore a little more extensively in satsang another time. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Next question. My husband and I would love to have a family. We will be successful. We have so much love in our hearts to give a child. How can I increase my chances of conceiving?
Well, look, one of the funny little things about conception is that it needs a very, very open space of being. And this is why people know that actually the more stressed you are, the more tension you feel, the more you pressure yourself, the more you try, actually it creates a tension in your vibrational field. And that it does create some contraction or constriction. The best thing is to know and really trust that the love that you do have and share and your intention of that love to extend that love for a soul in this world is sufficient. And then you just need to surrender and relax and let it be and let it happen, because love knows exactly what it needs to do, where, how, when, and why. Love just knows. And so the more you relax rather than push and try and feel tense about it and worried in any degree, really just practice cultivating the trust in the love, the trust in the workings, the orchestration of the love. Like I say, it knows when the perfect moment is. Okay, sure, there are practicalities we know in terms of the ovulation cycle, etc., etc. But really, that space of trust and surrender is going to open up the space a lot more readily and allow that full loving vibration to fill your whole field. And of course, that's going to be the right moment. Your dear little soul is going to go, bingo, that's the vibration I want. Just keep your heart open with the love. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, beautiful. Next question. I have heard you talk about the mind as a tool. Can you say where it is in the human body and how it functions within this human form?
The mind. Well, look, we could get into a bit of a debate around semantics of what is mind, what do we define as mind. I guess I would like to refer to intelligence, because mind is a tool of intelligence, and as a tool of intelligence, it's about focus, it's about a certain referencing, perceptive referencing. And that intelligence actually is operating at every level. Every single cell itself is intelligent. Every single cell is actually its own little mind. So is there one mind, or is it actually a collective of minds functioning as one great intelligence? That's probably more what I would describe it as. And, science is going a long way to actually beginning to understand and discover this. For example, it's now being recognize that the heart contains more of the neural tissue that functions for intelligence than our brain. So is our mind actually centered here in what we call the physical organ of cognitive function, okay, so processing the intelligence? Is it here, or is it here, or is it both, or is it actually everywhere? I see that it's actually everywhere. And I think gradually, you know, neurological research, biology, etc., is beginning to be a little more open to this rather than trying to single things out and isolate things, that it's actually one great big collective web. Not only that, but guess what? This mind intelligence is not separate from that, from you, from everyone else that's having this conversation, from every other being on this planet for that matter. We're actually one great collective mind. That makes it really interesting.
Thank you. Next question. I can find other people's energies overwhelming and the situation seems to be getting more acute. Why is this happening to me and can I do anything about it?
Well, you're not alone in this. I think probably nearly everyone at least would be thinking, yeah, that's the same with me. I'm feeling that, you know, whoever's listening today. And I'm sure you would hear other people commenting about this. Why? Because actually there is a wave of greater awakening. You and everyone else, you're waking up more and more. As in, there's a greater expanse of conscious presence, conscious awareness. And consciousness is not as confined, you see. The mind and the fixation in the mind is a more confined zone of perception and sense awareness. So, actually, excuse me, I'm just going to have a sip of my tea. I'm getting a bit thirsty. I'm talking too much, I think. Okay, so as I was saying, you know, the space of mind and thought, which is it is a certain spectrum of consciousness, is quite narrow. So when you're very oriented in mind and body-mind identity, your field, your expanse of sense awareness is very narrow. So you know, in that way, most people are only aware of themselves. That's why there are still people walking around that are so unaware of other people. Very, very self-centered. But the more we wake up, the more that field of awareness and consciousness, it expands. And so ultimately, we can be so expanded that we actually feel the whole world. We can feel the whole cosmos. And let me tell you now, absolutely it is so. I feel that. I experience that. And I've had moments where I literally feel every single being on the planet. Now, rather than focusing on what to do about feeling overwhelmed, focus on understanding that this sensitivity is simply the result of greater open awareness. And that means that really, we are in the process, when that's happening, of having to come to peace with the whole variant of all energies rather than want to recoil and pull away from them. And that brings me back to the answer I was giving earlier, that the more you tune into neutral consciousness, that it doesn't have attachment or aversion, there's no bias, there's no reaction about what's going on, it's just here. It just is. The less you focus on it in that way, the more it just flows through. Yes, you can feel the energies of others. Yes, you will. You will sense them. But rather than the mind focusing in on it and becoming really pointed on that particular energy, if you remain more neutral and open, like I say, yes, you're aware of the energy, but it tends to flow more and just move through rather than feeling like it really jabs or sticks or you know, intensifies. And I've actually given a similar answer, or there's been a similar question to this before. So try to imagine this a little bit like if you walk into a cafe and you sit down and you're feeling really sensitive, and then a child starts crying or there's some group of women cackling away and being really loud. And the more you put your attention on it, the louder and more irritating it becomes. Whereas if you just sit there and you surrender and it's just like, well, these are the sounds of this moment. Oh, these are the energies of this moment. Gradually, everything seems to actually subside a bit into white noise. It's just like, well, that's just the sound. That's just the energies. That's just the noise happening. That's the best way to manage this stronger sensitivity that you're now encountering and aware of. Because guess what? You're only going to become more aware and more tuned in. It's a sign of being more tuned in at a greater level. So it's actually a good thing. Just now find a way to balance that with coming into, like I say, neutral awareness, a more neutral response. Thank you.
So this will be the last question for today, and we've got through the majority of them, actually. You've just got all of them. So,
you question? You did warn me about quite a few, so I was really trying to...
I can tell. And now this question, how to deal with breakup, to recover back a healthy sense of relationship with ourselves, especially feelings of humiliation and shame?
Regarding a relationship breakup, was that?
It sounds like, yeah, how to deal with breakup was the first, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess, again, it comes back to recognising, first of all, that everything is impermanent. Everything is a stage. Everything is a process. Everything is an experience. Everything is an unfolding. Everything is a beginning and an ending, actually, in every moment. And so it's really, really natural for us to go through challenges within relationship where, you know, we have a beginning and an ending in what we're sharing with a particular individual. In terms of shame or, you know, guilt or pain or anything that we're feeling in relation to things that have come up within the relationship, it exposes both our conscious and our unconscious conditions. And really importantly, I think this comes back to our fundamental nature as a human experience. We're constantly growing, we're constantly learning, and we need to really change our whole attitude about that from one that is about judging rights from wrongs, wrongs from rights, and success from failure, failure from success, to actually the whole thing is an ongoing experiment. The whole thing is an ongoing adventure, discovery, and constant turning over of experiences. And so even when you can identify something that you wouldn't condone, you know, necessarily, if you were in your most conscious state, then you know there are certain things you think or you do that if you really were fully consciously present and being the love that you are, you wouldn't do. Yes, we know that. We know there are things we've all done that don't reflect that full presence of consciousness and love. But that's something to understand, that it's part of us digesting a deeper understanding of what we actually are and how to digest that and integrate that at a more conscious level. So anything and everything that reflects suffering or conflict is really the content of discovering more consciousness. It's actually serving for you to become more conscious, to become more love. And when you allow yourself to acknowledge this, you do have greater self-forgiveness and compassion for yourself and for others. You have the ability then to let go, let learn, let experience, let adventure, let process, let conscious becoming. And that just, you know, that's the balm of the soul. That's the oil for these moments where okay, you know, you get a bit clunky at moments and there's some grit and it hurts momentarily, but really it's content for growth. And if we could all see and understand that, we would be so much more tolerant of each other and compassionate for each other and understand that failing actually is part of learning and growing and ultimately succeeding. We just don't go through life without the mistakes. So adventure, experience, it's an ongoing journey. Thank you. And I think, Sayushi, you said that was the last question.
Yes, that's right. I was just going to hand over to you to wrap up, and then if everyone stays online, I'll just finish with some things that are coming up. So over to you.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much, everyone, for being here and sharing in this moment and in every moment. You know, that last question I think was really valuable because actually our whole experience is about relating and relationship. And again, I will just refer again to my book briefly because Awakening You, Embodying Peace, Love and Freedom on Earth, it really is such a profound insight of tools and understanding actually the conflicts we all share and experience as this human journey. And in the book, I really take you into knowing and understanding about relating and relationships as well, but everything is about relating. And it all comes from here within ourselves. It's all a balance of consciousness or unconsciousness. And so what we're sharing here is the same thing. This is what it's about, bringing more and more consciousness through ourselves to each other and to life. So thank you for sharing in that journey. Thank you for your own journey of discovering greater consciousness and greater love and bringing it into the world. And let's just keep sharing that and keep inspiring each other and encouraging each other and acknowledging each other because this is what we are. So thank you for being you. All of my love is with you and all of my gratitude. Thank you again, team, for the support today that we can share, you know, with people all around the world. All my love, great blessings, always, always here, now, always. Namaste.
Yes, namaste. And thank you.